Wichita, El Dorado together. It's so good. I know some of you are reacquainting and seeing one another. We hear all the time about how folks miss seeing one another, and we are thankful, El Dorado, for your prayers as we've been missioning in Wichita and walking out together. It's a special Sunday, too, because Tim and Sherry, this is their last corporate time with us before they leave. They're going to be gone to Illinois next week and then gone to Manhattan the next week, and they get on a plane on the 26th, Monday, and they head to Saudi Arabia. And we are, it's just a special time. Tim's not in here. I think I saw Sherry in here. I'm not sure, but maybe she went back over, but they are sharing at First Baptist this morning, first both services. Wade heard the story, and Tim shared at the 8:45 service, and people spontaneously got up at the end of it and gathered around and prayed for their family, and he's over right now talking and sharing the story of the call to Saudi Arabia, which you've heard, which is just astounding. And but they are at the end of the end here as they've sold their house or selling their cars, storing away some stuff, and getting ready to go on big-time mission. And so we are looking forward. Tim will be coming across the road here in just a little bit, and he'll share his heart with us. We have a song to sing, and Tyra's going to minister, and then we're going to pray over them and send them. So we're having a moment here. That's surprising. Sending people. I'm sitting there watching. Golly, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there watching Spencer. I'm proud of my little boy in the faith, and watching him handle the holy word of God. And I'm just like, wow, what an awesome privilege it's been to serve and to be with and to partner with. And there's an ache in the kingdom as in this life where there's loss and lives are here and they go and transition happens. Because we started a house church, or we've been have a house church in our neighborhood. Kelly Wansettler, who lives near us, had expressed at the beginning that one of the aches of being around new life is the transition that goes on often, especially through the house churches. And you just get used to one another and you get kind of close, and then there's movement. And we actually think that's healthy. As our kids move out of our house, and sometimes we're ready for some of them to go, and some of them we don't want to go, but there's an ache in life as things grow and they move and they go forward. So we're in the midst of a season right now, and I've asked Amy to share with me. This is going to be an unusual, not normal sermon. We're going to share for a bit before Tim comes, just about the season that we're in and what the Holy Spirit is doing among us. We heard very clearly in 2012. That there was things were going to look different in 2014. Clearly heard that on my spirit. Started sharing it with the team and various things. And as 12 finished, and we wrote about this, and I've shared it, knew that 2013 would be an amazing year of transition and assignment definition. A lot of things were going to shake and move, and that's been happening. We're sitting here on a day, this Sunday and next Sunday when Spencer preaches and then leaves. We're seeing that transition happen among us. Started feeling in March or April, like August was something significant. I would preach about it in Wichita. Something's going to happen in August, and here we are in August. And at that time, we didn't know Spencer would leave then and Tim would leave then. We had no idea. And obviously, here we are. But those changes that are happening in those guys' lives are indicative of really changes and things that are happening inside us and around us. As the Holy Spirit just works and develops and revives and re-clarifies what's happening. This is about the end of a decade, really, here for New Life. It's really our birthdays next Easter, but we started in Tawanda, and some of you were here when that was going on. We began over there with Alan Webster, and things began to kick up, and then here we are 10 years later. And during that time, it's been a wild time. Around that time, we tentatively kind of came back into what we're doing here. Amy and I had stepped away from public ministry and the house church stuff, doing some business, and tentatively came back into what we were doing here. And it's been an amazing journey and decade. But we feel like the Lord is always trying to keep us calibrated, because we are pretty weak. And though we see blessing, we can get off bubble at times. And so he comes and revives and recalibrates and puts us back together. Do you remember those times?
Yeah, I just, one thing on my heart I wanted to share was I found a letter a while back that I had written to Sam when we were dating. And in it, I talked about how we were a couple of idealists. And the way I'd come back to the Lord, everything had to be very real, very true, non-performance. It was at the core of me, it had to be real. And I know the Lord did that in Sam as well. But at the same time, we were so spoiled. As I look back, I see how easy everything came to us, how much we loved ourselves, but we wanted to get it right. And I think at any point, we were willing to do anything the Lord told us. I don't think that's ever been the problem. I think the problem has been it's taken some time for Him to break our hearts to see the body. And today, I've just been a mess. He's a mess, and I'm a mess. I just feel undone with the love of the Lord and the love He has for you. And as I sit there and I think, I'm such a mess. How can He continue to use me? And through the ministry of the worship this morning, that was so good, Jonathan, and then the songs, He just keeps telling me, in your spirit, you're good, you're clean, you're whole. Turn your soul back over to me and let's go, you know? And so there's that. But in the midst of that, He said, we came back tentatively or gingerly into the ministry, and I remember that. I was like, careful. You know, we'd learned so much about He builds His church. We want to get our hands off of it. And so you might have to transition back into the other. But right now, it feels the same way. I feel like He's kind of messing with us a little bit. He's kind of shaking us up and showing us that we don't have to have the perfect model. I think there was a lot of time spent on getting it right. And you know, Sam, he wanted to get it right first and best. And it's not about getting it right or making it look all a certain way and all of that. It's just about being obedient and seeing His people and going after the lost.
Amen. So we're in the midst of a seasonal shift and change, it feels like, among us and around us. We've enjoyed the last 10 years. I think no less than, we were talking, than 1,000 folks have come through in the last 10 years for little pieces of time and longer periods of time, and some have been sent and some just went away, and you know, most over the top. It's been an amazing relationship. There's been a couple, you know, issues, just relationships that happen, and those are painful and hurtful to us at times, but we just, as she said, we're spoiled by the grace and the love that people have shown to us and the privilege it's been to minister and to have such a radical context and culture of freedom within which to figure this out, because we're still figuring it out in our mid-40s and raising babies and going forth in the ministry. But we are so thankful for what the Lord's doing in the earth. It's becoming a lot less about us and a lot more about Him and what He's doing. And we are committed like never before to being in agreement with what the Holy Spirit is doing on planet Earth, and He's doing a lot. And there's a lot been happening actually in our nation in the last few years. I just shared a couple weeks ago, and I'm not going to repeat it, of what's happened in the nations. I wanted to share Habakkuk 1:5 says, "Look among the nations and see and wonder and be astounded, for I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you." And that is so true. So many are using those passages and verses as things explode in the Muslim world, in Asia and Africa. There's never been a time like this on planet Earth where there are more martyrs and more explosion in advance of the gospel, and largely in context of non-colonialized, westernized, church-building, denominationalized works. There's explosions of disciple-making movements now happening and church planting movements that are just amazing. But the Lord is shifting things, and it's uncomfortable for many leaders in the earth today. And in fact, in our nation, there's probably right now today, 83% of Americans do not attend what would be called an institutional church. The church attendance numbers, and we've got a little chart here from the 90s, about 20% of people in our nation attended a church of some kind. But now we are in around 16%, because there's a massive exodus happening. In fact, George Barna believes that from 2000 to 2005, 20 million believers left the institutional church. And right now, it's about 1 million a year are transitioning out. There's something shaking. There's something moving because Jesus is passionate about reaching the nations. It might look like we're declining, but we're not. Jesus is not in trouble. He's just shifting everything, the way we think about it. In fact, many were saying phrases 10, 15, 20 years ago, we're the church, not this is not the church, and beginning to see that. Now that's common language as people are moving and the Holy Spirit is shifting the body of Christ. In that same time, while millions are exiting out, George Barna calls it almost a second reformation, what's happening right now. I don't know that you know what you're a part of. It's not being led by personality or celebrity. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in a pretty radical way. And house church attendance has increased 1,000%, and that's the best way they can figure it out. The body and people are leaving institutional church not so because they're losing their faith. They're doing it to maintain their faith. Because we're figuring out that they're not going to come to us, we've got to go to them. And that's the deal. And I'm telling you, it's astounding. I wasn't even aware of how big it was. This last month, I've been studying, looking at what's been happening out there, because I had stopped looking, and it's a shocking thing that's happening. So, in Habakkuk 2:2-3, it says, "And the Lord answered me, write down the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run with it who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, and it will not lie. It seems slow, but you need to wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay." The Holy Spirit's been downloading vision into multiple men and women's hearts for multiple decades. The prophetic words have been increasing about a nameless and faceless generation, about the church beginning to go instead of come, not wasting money anymore on building palaces, but beginning to spend money on missions. And I tell you, there's a radical across denominations. Some denominations don't even look the same anymore. Mega church pastors are stepping down from what they were doing as we decide, and the Spirit's putting it in people's hearts, we want to shift from making consumers to making disciples. We've been really good at making consumers, and in fact, there was a stat here that all the church growth that's really happening today is mostly the trading of members, of believers. It's what we call the Walmartization sociologically in the body of Christ. Some churches are getting, the mega church has become a new thing in the last 20 years. But while that's happening, moms and pops, small churches are shutting down by the hundreds. Every year, 4,000 new churches start, 7,000 shut down as there's a coalition of believers going to believer. The conversion rate is like at 1%. It's really small. We're actually losing in the culture. The nation is growing like crazy population-wise, but we're not winning people to Jesus. We're just shifting around from church to church. And the Lord is really, I think, shifting things around because here's his vision. Habakkuk 2:14. "The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, even as the waters cover the sea." God is going to fill the earth with his glory. And that we believe that's his vision, is to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. How will he do this? He's going to do this on earth by spreading his presence. That's what's glorious. Not buildings, not leaders, it's his presence. How does he spread his presence? He does it by filling the earth with his church. We're the carriers of his presence. Matthew 28:18 he just talked about, Spencer talked about, is go make disciples. Go fill the earth and make disciples. We see it in Ephesians 1:22-23. "And he put all things under his feet," Jesus, "and everything under his body, which is the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Listen, the church is supposed to be filling, not waiting on people to come fill. We don't set a culture and then hope all the people in those lost cultures are going to come join us. We fill and invade them is really what the call is. In Ephesians 2:19-22, and actually just the last couple verses, it says he is building a structure. Verse 21, that's being joined together, a holy temple. "And in him you're being built together, believers, into a dwelling place for God by his Spirit." We said this before, we believe that the church, the word church, is the plural word for disciple. Meaning, the church is at least 2 to 3. Where 2 or 3 gather in my name, there I am. And this is the bada bing of what we want to say today, and I'm going to kick it back to AIM here. But we believe that the church is 2 to 3 people. It's believers, the body of Christ. And God is filling the earth with his body. And we want to be about sending like we've never been before. And at times, that's been troublesome because you're tempted to try to draw in more and more people and build new life. We've always been fighting that temptation. So I talk to pastors all the time who are trying to figure out how to close the back door. How do we get people in and how we keep them from leaving? And we just feel like that's not really supposed to be our concern. We're supposed to serve Jesus and help accelerate the church in going. And so we've been working through that and developing that some.
Well, I don't know if this is the time for... Sam and I just started again a little house church in our neighborhood, and it has been amazing what we have learned every week. And many of us have done house churches. We've done small groups. We've done cell groups. And I know the feeling of, we've tried that all before. That's not going to work, or there's going to be conflict, or I don't want to risk relational problems. I'm just going to stay over here and keep it all safe and good. And I just want to share a few of the things I've learned since we started to do this. And we decided to kind of really focus on our neighborhood, just the people that lived around us. So there's seven of us. It's very small. It's not about the number. And we also decided that it was going to be on mission from the very beginning, that it wasn't going to be just about making ourselves better, but we were going to, from the beginning, be looking outward and at our neighbors specifically. And so those two things have been life-changing, really, because two things. One thing that will be with me forever is the first time we met, Brandy, Star. We're really close. She was sitting across from me, and I get that my worldview is different than most of you because I've been a pastor's wife and I've been in the ministry for so long. But I still think a lot of us that feel ownership in our churches will relate to this. She starts to share, and I have this thing happen inside of me that I can let go of all of my agenda. I don't have to worry about bringing Brandy along the way I want to bring her along. I don't have to worry about anything other than what's going on with Brandy. I need to know her. She's part of the body. And I just need to focus on her. I know that sounds really simple, but all those agendas just kind of dropped off. This isn't New Life Outlet, and we're going to make it look successful. This is us. We're going to learn how to be the body. And I don't know if I articulated that, but something happened in me that night that was powerful. And so through the process, we spent a lot of time praying for our neighbors. We spent a lot of time praying for each other because obviously things come up that are hindering us from being fruitful. And that's been a natural thing that's happened, that we've gotten to lay hands on each other, pray over each other, and kind of shake out the truth with each other. And so that's that side of it. The other side is I'm just the vision of filling, the scripture about by filling the earth with his church. Because of this group, I see that more clearly, because even though it's a tiny little neighborhood, we're all kind of got little things percolating in us, where we want to go, where we want to reach out, where we're working, and partnering together to how is Melinda going to fill her workplace with the glory of God, because they don't want it there. They're saying, no talking of that. You know, you'll hear Brandy, and she's in a place that definitely God is not welcome, and we're going to strategize, and we're going to pray, because we know that God is going to be glorified and that he is going to win, and we want to be a part of it. And thinking about what Tim is doing and all of the McVeighs as they go, they're going to a place that is saying Jesus is not welcome here, and they've got to go, they've got to be wise, and they've got to be innocent and childlike, and they've got to watch how this, there's not a model for them to follow, there's just a Jesus for them to follow. So.
So we are freshly committed like never before, and we shudder at this. I shudder at this almost weekly, of producing something here that makes consumers and Christians when he never called me to make consumers and Christians. He called us to make disciples that go and that fill and send. I don't want to sit here and get a better sermon so you can get more knowledge and so we can have a better band and have some pantomime from the youth, so we feel like they're doing something when none of them are hungry for Jesus or on mission. And I'm thankful for the level of mission and heart that's been here. but we are freshly committing ourselves by faith at whatever risk it takes to do whatever it takes. I met with the staff this week, the New Life team, and we were just like, is what we're doing helping move people into filling their businesses and neighborhoods and getting together as the body, or are we calling them away from that and giving them a way to be Christian without ever being disciples and being on mission? Jonathan dogged us old men at the purity meeting this last week when he said that their generation, I can't remember how he said it, I'm going to make it worse than what you said, but he was talking about how their generation is doing so well with accountability and how us old guys didn't do relationship like that. And it was just like tragically true. In my generation, the generation above me, my grandpa, just no relationship among men and body life, and then there's trouble, and then you're so private, and it's just hard to do it. And here's the deal. There's no way that the body of Christ manifests until we know how to do this. We know how to relate, and we don't do this just because we're being comfortable or we're trying to do holding tanks for New Life. You know, we want to actually, there's something dynamic that happens when the body of Christ agrees in prayer. It exercises covenant promises and covenant things together. When we agree in prayer and say amen together and confess sins to one another, I've never known more holiness than since I learned how to confess my sins in personal relationship with other brothers. I didn't know how to do it. Nobody taught me. You know, I didn't. That wasn't happening generationally. But when it broke out and we awkwardly did it, I went from just being forgiven to starting to be healed. Because there's dynamic power when Jesus and his people begins to relate with one another. I hope that makes sense. So we want to help unleash that because we in Habakkuk 3:2 have heard of the Lord's fame. We stand in awe of his deeds. I read the book of Acts and I just salivate. I hear about Indonesia and China and Africa. And there's been prophecies that the West would be last. And we are post-denomination, almost post-Christian here. But the Lord has not forgotten us. And he's going to teach us how to be the body as we go forward. Amen? So, I want to encourage you with this. A couple testimonies really quick. Can we just key that up real quick? And then I'm going to have Tim come and share his heart with us. You know what? I'm gonna skip that because of time. Sorry. What I had for you was a video on an iPhone from Thomas Joyce. Thomas is getting married in 3 weeks. The Holy Spirit's spoken to them, and they're going to plant a house church in Northwest Wichita. It's a wonderful thing. We'll send out a link to it on the email because of time here. I want to get to Tim. But it's a cool thing because Thomas is just this young guy who lost his dad in the last year or so. He's marrying this gal from California. They're going to move to Wichita, and he is not just coming to attend somewhere. He's coming, and he's going to plant the church in their home in Northwest Wichita. Brandy Starr, she began praying with a couple sisters, African-American sisters, 3 to 4 months ago at WSU in a research center over there. She works there, a place that's, you got to be careful about all this stuff. Every morning, they grab a conference room, and her and two sisters pray for everyone, one another and for everyone in their department. They spill over into paid time. You can talk to her about integrity issues about that. But she is really, they're committed to it. Now when they walk back to the conference room, co-workers say, hey, when you go pray, will you please pray for me? And Brandy's going, of course we will. Do you want to come? And there's this draw that's beginning to happen. They're like, no, I'd like you to pray for me, but I'm not ready to come yet. But you know what's happening there? Does anybody know what's happening there? I said it to her, and she got it, went home and talked to her sister. I go, Brandy, you have more than a prayer group there. You planted a church in WSU, in the research department that's anti-God. You've got the body of Christ operating, and because of that, you're shifting the culture, and you're beginning to bring the kingdom to bear upon those in that area. Listen, every one of you are called to be disciples and to be the church where you are. You're called to more than sit in a pew or a seat. You're called to go be the body of Christ. And we want to help you. Our whole energy is going to be about that. And we don't need you to grow New Life. There is no New Life. New Life will pass away quickly, all right? We want you to come into partnership with us so you can become the church wherever you go. Speaking of that, Timmy, we have this wonderful opportunity. Your Bible's right. I know my deal. Because we want to send the church to WSU and to the nations.
I Good morning. Am I on? Yes, I am. I want to key off a few things that Amy and Sam just shared. And and just kind of say bye in a more formal way. You know, when Sherry and the kids and I moved out here from Missouri, where we were, there was a communication that went on from the Lord to us, and that was that we were coming to a mission base, and that this was our mission base, and it is, and it's us here. It's my family that I just finished talking with at First Baptist. It's the body of Christ in El Dorado that he linked us to, and in the Wichita area, and even people like Tim Heron. And please quit texting me, Tim. And so he's so obnoxious. Anyway, so when we came here, you know, we came to join you, to join in community with you, to learn to love you. And, you know, it's hard to sum up 6.5 years or so in a short few minutes, but suffice to say, it's been hard. We've grown a lot. We've been crushed in ways. We've been blessed in so many ways. We've grown in our marriage. We've grown in as a family. We've grown as friends, as brothers. But through all that, there's what we call the hard stuff of fellowship, and thank you all for engaging in that. That is the church being the church. When we have conflict and need to forgive one another, that's really love. That's us being the church. And so I think if I could leave you with one thing, and we feel very much a part of you as we go. We feel that you are sending us. We feel your prayers, and we are assured of that. We are assured of your love as we go. And so thank you for loving us and allowing us to be part of the family here in this expression of the body of Christ in town and in the region. So I wanted to leave you with a few scriptures out of Romans chapter 12. And this is, I think I've shared this before, but this keeps coming back to me and as it relates to us as a family. So if you have your Bibles, Romans 12, verse 9, I'll start there. Romans 12, 9. And the backdrop of this would be Jesus saying, all men will know that you're my disciples if you... What is it? If we love one another. Romans 12, 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. If we will obey this, this will be the most attractive expression of who Jesus Christ is. We, the church in the city, we, the church in the region, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. And if you can step away, this is a zealous group of people, always pressing forward, always on mission. That's not going to change with this guy at the helm. But don't be worn out by your zeal. step back and appreciate every once in a while what you have in one another. It is phenomenal. It's phenomenal. So don't be worn out by your zeal, but never lack zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction. And faithful in prayer. Verse 13. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. And bless and do not curse. Ever. Rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Our life is being turned upside down right now, and because you have loved us and prayed for us, we do not fear. Because you've have participated in that interesting partnership with God the Father of securing something for us, and this is not about us. This is about the kingdom of God. This is about Jesus Christ, the soon coming King, getting glory in a place where they have shut him out. Amy mentioned Jesus Christ is not welcome in Saudi Arabia, and isn't it ironic and funny that, as one sister said, the Lord would invite, we'd be invited into the very palace in Saudi Arabia. You might think that's funny. That's fun. Is that not funny? So, where he is not welcome, it doesn't matter. He takes over. He does whatever he wants. And he will continue to do so. It's all his. They're his. They don't know they need him. They need him. They need him desperately. We have brothers and sisters who are yet to be born in Saudi Arabia, born again into Christ. And I'm asking you, please, and I don't think I have to ask you, but please be on mission with us as we go. Whatever you do on your knees in the secret place is moving things around in the kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Be assured, it is true. It looks weak. It looks weak. But it matters. It is the very stuff that will change and will open the doors, open the situations, release from heaven revelation, release angelic help where it is needed. It is you on your knees. It is you, my family, our family. So please do pray for us. And as we're gone, what I envision seeing as when we return, and this is just, a beautiful thought hit me this morning as I thought of kind of some closing remarks for this season in our life to you. I was thinking, what love will I see when I return? What love will Sherry and the kids and I see you together, what kind of love will we see? So love one another deeply from the heart and obey the scriptures in Romans 12. Keep offenses real short. Forgive one another from the heart. And go, let the Lord take you to new places in love. And the neighbors will see that. They'll be so compelled. Because this is about our neighbors. This is about our coworkers. This is about you on mission. This is about, ultimately, the glory of Jesus Christ among us. Amen? Amen.
Could Sherry and the kids come up? Tyler, jump on the piano. We're going to do this a little different. Karen, yeah, come on. Nate. When will you guys be back again, Tim? You want to?
June-ish.
In June-ish?
Planning on June.
Yeah, June. So Karen's going to go over, meet them in France around Christmas, and they'll be with the QBACs who have not deployed to Chad yet. We'll still be there, right? So they'll be spending time together. Sherry, do you have anything you want to say to us, or goodbye? Or?
I think just a few thoughts that I'm just seeing God's faithfulness in preparing us personally, and that applies also to all of you, that I'm thinking of the scripture in Psalms where it says that he has fulfilled his purpose for me. And he is faithful to do that. And I just see in so many aspects of God's faithfulness in preparing us for this place, relationally, as a family, just where we're at spiritually, to be able to do something like this. And it all comes back from him. He gives us the faith also to do what we're doing. And so I'm just thankful just to see years of him preparing us for this time in so many ways. So
that's awesome. Good. Okay. What we're going to do, just a visual before you go, is as they're being thrust into Saudi Arabia, Saudi Arabia's getting more than just a doctor and more than a handful of believers. To me, that's a church. That's the church. And Tim and Sherry and Nate and Dan and Elise will pray. They're going to pray together over there. They're going to worship together over there. God's planting his body, you know, an outpost in that he's filling Saudi Arabia with his church, and here it is. So we're sending a church over there, all right? And once you kind of have that in your hearts, I'm going to ask Tyler to sing over us in just a moment. But if you would like to come, especially like elders and wives to come, let's begin. Let's all stand. And if you want to gather around them, we want to pray before we go over to the Cree Wells. And we love to send and lay hands on and to pray for people. Let me get this. This is going to cause a problem if I don't get this out of the way. I'm just going to have Tyler play. And if you don't come, it's not like you don't love them. Pray from where you are. It's awesome. We're going to get pretty full down here. But let me, I want to pray over them and pray for this moment. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, for the sake of Jesus, for the glory of Jesus, for the kingdom of Jesus, all for Jesus, we now pray over Tim and Sherry, over Nate and Dan and Elise, these five missionaries, people in Christ, the church, this body, this piece of your body, you're thrusting into Saudi Arabia. We stand over it as the greater church, representative of it. We just pray in Jesus' name for these guys, first and foremost, to keep their focus on you, Jesus. Give them hearts to be blazing lovers of the Lord. Faithful, obedient, patient, enduring, diligent, as they think of how long it took kind of prep and then how suddenly you moved. I pray you give them patience for the process over there. We pray for protection. Pray for open doors. Pray for an acceleration of understanding the culture and loving and ministering to people. We pray for their prayer life together. I pray for Tim and Sherry, of course. Fill them with the Spirit. Bless their marriage. Bless their agreement in Christ. And Lord, we pray for these three missionaries they take with them. Lord, I lift up Nathaniel McVeigh, Daniel McVeigh, Elise McVeigh, Karen, as she in proxy and goes over there. Some in Jesus' name for these four disciples and missionaries. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Provide for them what they've given up as they do sacrifice right now, as they leave friend and family and comforts of certain levels. I thank you that, Lord, there's no loss in you, really. I pray you become the reward like never before. Give wisdom of when to speak, wisdom of when to be silent. May they see opportunities and not be led by the flesh, but led by your Spirit. And Lord, we're praying again for the sake of your glory and your kingdom in Saudi. Lord, harvest Saudi Arabians for the kingdom of heaven eternally. Pray, Lord, you win them. Princes, wives, children, the poor, the rich alike. Lord, we pray for your church in this area. Fill Saudi Arabia with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord by filling it with your church multiplying. Thank you for these guys. We commission them in the name of the Lord Jesus to go forth in his authority and his power. May the face of the Lord shine upon you. May the face of the Lord shine upon you. May his grace go with you. May his blessing operate around you. We thank the Lord that his angels operate around you and that he has made a way and opened a portal of peace into the core of division and war. Praise you, Lord, that they take the gospel of peace. Bless them. And watch over and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.